Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
As I record this, Tuesday night, it's 10:18 p.m. as I record, which is a cool thing about doing this solo show. There's a lot of reasons why I wanted to do the Kevin Clancy show in addition to KFC Radio and We Gotta Believe and the radio and the rundown and 1 minute, all the other shit I do. And, you know, I wanted to do a solo show because it's just me and my, you know, unfiltered thoughts without catering to anybody, any host, any guests, anything. But also, I can do this shit whenever I want. Like, ordinarily, I would never be recording, you know, a podcast with another co-host or anybody at, you know, almost 10:30 at night. But it's cool because you get to see, you get to hear like different me at different times of the day and night and like the whole process. So today, 10:30 at night after a long one, it was a long day in the mud for your boy KFC. Put it up there in the pantheon of battles in the mud for me and my career. This was the Tiger Woods battle. If you follow me on Twitter, it was a bad one. It was a bad one. There's no defending this one. So let me explain the situation. Yesterday or today, as I'm recording this, was Tiger Woods got in his car accident. So like anything else in life and like anything else at here at Barstool, timing is almost everything. Timing can account for all of the success and all of the failures of Barstool Sports in a lot of ways. So yesterday I'm doing 1 minute, man. We had a meeting. I had a phone call. I had to record that I'm doing 1 minute, man. And then I have like a small break. And in that break, the Tiger Woods news comes to light. So I'm walking back to my desk and I hear the news that Tiger Woods has been in a car accident. And then there was either a tweet or a DM, but wherever it came out, the Barstool bullpen and Trent and all those guys tell me Tiger Woods has been in a car accident and he's broken both his legs. And immediately I'm like, that's a fake story. That's a hoax. That's not real. Trent's like bugging out. He thinks like Tiger Woods is like dead and he's, you know, terrified. And I'm like, bro, this is a fake story. This is a hoax. Because in my world, on the internet for my whole life and doing it as a career for 12 now, I have seen the XYZ athlete has been in a car accident and broken both his legs 1,000 times. Legitimately almost double digits. 10 times this has been a hoax about athletes. I've seen, dating back to like 2012, I mean, early days of Twitter for me, Peyton Manning in a car accident broke both his legs. Cam Newton, Jay Cutler, even as recent as Russell Wilson, Tony Romo, Mike Vick. There was like two other ones that all athletes who all were in a car accident and broke both their legs. I mean, the exact type of headline that has been done a million times before as just one of these completely made up internet fake stories. So I see that. And it was the exact time where there was only one tweet and like one set of DMs, one rumor going around. Tiger had been in a car accident and broke both his legs. So as we do at Barstool, I fire from the hip. I'm not thinking. We're just reacting. That's what we do, for better or worse, mostly for better this time, most certainly for worse. But I said, no, this is a hoax. And then it becomes like an argument at Barstool where it's like anything else. You're just like, no, I'm right. No, you're wrong. So I'm like, dude, no, like I've been around the block. This is a hoax. And, you know, within a few minutes, the LA sheriff's. I wasn't sure whether there was no car accident at all. Then I'm like, maybe there was a car accident, but I don't think he's broken both his legs. So at this point, we're just speculating and I'm just arguing like an asshole. And then, you know, then the sheriff's department confirms it. Then there's the Jaws of Life tweet. And that's, I saw the Jaws of Life tweet. I was like, oh no, like fuck, Jaws of Life is bad. And then there's the picture of the car. And, you know, so then it's obviously just proven to be true, be a real thing, and be a pretty dire situation. As I'm recording this, the last I heard was, he was in surgery earlier in the night for a non-life-threatening injury. I heard it was a compound fracture in his leg. So, you know, not good, obviously real. But in a weird way, it was like, and I've been around too much and known too much of this dumb internet shit where that was the first place my mind went to. So obviously I just get fucking roasted. I mean, I got crushed. I got, you know how bad it was? Josh said, one of our social media guys says, you were getting ratioed worse than Trista Crick on her Ben Simmons tweet. That, my friends, is a motherfucking ratio. When you hear that you're getting ratioed worse than Trista, it's like, that's the benchmark. That's the barometer. So, because I mean, if you think the thing about the internet and the timing is like, it's a matter of minutes before the story gets confirmed. So, you know, unless you're looking at timestamps down to the literal minute, it looks like the news is out. Everyone knows that he's been injured. And I'm just over here being like, it's a hoax. It's not real. In that exact moment, in that little cross section, that little slice of time, there was one piece of information out that I knew was that an athlete had broke both his legs. And in my world, that's a fucking fake story. So people were like, why are you joking about this? Like, it is not a joke. And people were like, what are you talking about? Why is it a hoax? Like, why would Tiger make this up? Like, it's not a hoax. Like, he made it up. Like, there was this one girl. Let me pull her Twitter up. Her name was Molly. I don't know who she works for, but she's just someone on the internet. And she was like, let me get the exact tweet. She goes, I don't know. She had so many replies to me, man. Can someone explain to me what the hoax part of this would be? Like, a hoax for what purpose? Is it suspected that Tiger Woods is looking to start a new life under a new identity or something? It just doesn't even make sense as a joke because it's not a joke. This was not like a boom, I'm joking. This was like, I don't think this story is real. I wasn't trying to be funny. I wasn't trying to make fun of someone who's in a car accident. It was based on a single headline. I was like, this is like when the last time I saw it, when it said Russell Wilson has broken both his legs, I was like, no, he hasn't. And in that case, it was proven to be a hoax. And in the other literally 10 times, it's like 8, 9, 10 times, that was just a hoax. In this case, it was tragically, unfortunately, it finally came to fruition. And I guess not even in the sense, I don't think he broke both his legs, but obviously, you know, bad injuries to his legs. And that's just the cross, you know, we bear here on the internet at Barstool, just letting it rip. Now, I deleted the tweets. So then very shortly thereafter, we're on the rundown and Dave's like, what the fuck is going on your Twitter? And I explained the situation and he's like, oh shit. Like that's just like shitty timing. You're not like being an asshole just to be an asshole. But, you know, I would delete the tweets. Now, in my world where I come from, my thoughts, you don't delete the tweets for two reasons. One, it doesn't do anything. The tweets are out there. If one person has screenshotted it, that tweet lives on forever. So there's no point in deleting it. And two, I think if you have a bad tweet, you should have to wear it. I think that that's like your punishment for the bad tweet is that you have to let everyone quote tweet it, let everyone retweet it, and just fucking mock your ass for being stupid. Now, again, I said, hand up. I said, listen, those were bad tweets. Once all the information came to light, I still don't think given, you know, if I explain to you that exact situation, if I say this exact headline has been false a bunch of times before, I thought it was again, it proved to be wrong. And I don't think that's the end of the world. I think I look like an asshole. I think I jumped the gun and I fired quickly, but it's again, not knowingly making fun of a bad situation. But Dave was like, you know, I think those tweets are going to come up. People are going to use those tweets against you in the future for things that are disconnected to this. No one is going to use those tweets and put your follow-up tweet in there explaining it. It's just going to get used against you. Now, again, in my world, I feel like so be it. That's just what we fucking do here. You just, you know, you tweet a whole bunch. We've all tweeted tens of thousands of times. Some jokes are going to be funny. Some jokes are not going to be funny. Some takes are going to be right. Some takes are going to be wrong. Some takes are going to be, you know, on the mark. Some takes are going to be really insensitive. And if people want to use it against you, I mean, again, I've had a million tweets used against me throughout, you know, the last decade. But, you know, times are changing. There's different rules. There's more at stake. He said I would delete the tweets. All right, boss, I'll delete the tweets. So I said, you know, I've deleted the tweets because they were upsetting people. And that's the other thing. People were like calling for them to be deleted. Now, in my life, I'm like, if this is upsetting people and like really pissing them off, like, okay, I'll delete them. I don't really believe in it. I don't think it's going to do anything. Leave it up there versus deleting it. You know, the damage is done. But I'm like, okay, people, if that's going to make some people feel better or if that's what people want, I'll fucking do it. In one breath, I'm like, I think you should stand by it. In the other breath, I'm like, I've tweeted, I don't know, like 250,000 times. That's Bailey Carlin, like in a week. But for me, I don't know, a quarter of a million times. So what's a couple tweets, I'll get rid of them. So, but I have no problem, like hand up, man. When I say something that's not funny, or I mean, there's plenty of times I say things that are not funny, but if I say something that like upsets people, yeah, my bad, dude. I did it over the summer with the Kaepernick shit. I was like, I think as long as your intent is try to make people laugh with a joke, if you fucking miss the mark, I'll be like, hand up. I thought that was funny. In the moment, I thought it was funny. Now, like looking at people's reaction, I understand. Didn't really hit. In this case, it was more of like, I had what I thought was the understanding of what was going on turned out to be wrong. I have no problem saying like, hand up on that one. And that's why, I mean, every time this happens, people are like, that's it, you're canceled. And I'm just like, I don't think so, man. I don't think I am. If I haven't been canceled yet, I don't think this situation is going to cancel me. I don't know what it's going to take. We'll find it eventually. I know, you know, the Kirk Minahan gang, I made an appearance on his show where they still don't understand what my take on cancel culture. We're actually going to talk a little bit about that because I want to get into the Chris D'Elia return. But like, I just don't think that everything needs to be met with this life and death. You know, it's about whether you believe in freedom of speech or not. You're either with it or against it. You're either for the cause or for part of the problem. It's just like, I don't know, man. I said some shit on Twitter again, and some people didn't like it again. And around we go. One of these days, it'll probably be too far, and that'll be it for you, boy. Put me in the fucking dirt. It's over. Until then, I'm still here kicking. And these, you know, the people getting angry are still getting angry. That same girl, Molly, who said, you know, can you explain what this hoax even means? Then says to me, give me $200 or I delete my tweet. So I had quote tweeted her for my explanation. I said, here, let me explain. It's not a joke. Tiger didn't make it up. The reason why I said it wasn't real is because here are all the other examples of the hoax. She was like, I'm going to delete my tweet. Because in the Twitter world, if you quote tweet someone and then they delete that tweet, it looks stupid and people don't get the context. So she tweets her Venmo QR code and says, Venmo me $200 or I delete my tweet. And I guess that's her version of joking. She says, if you don't respect my attempt to shake down a Barstool writer in the process of being canceled, I don't respect you. Like, what? This shit is so lame. But like, what are we doing here? You're out here making your own jokes, making light of the situation. We're all in the mud. As I always say, like, we're all here doing the same thing. You're trying to get your likes and retweets and followers and build a following. I'm trying to continue to cultivate mine that I've built over the last decade in the middle of learning about broken leg hoaxes. We're all doing the same goddamn shit. Venmo me $200 or I'll delete. Or I'm going to delete my tweet so your tweet looks stupid. What the fuck are we talking about? Who looks stupid now? Like I said, it's hard for someone to have worse tweets than my tweets on the day, but cheers. You did it, Molly, with your Venmo shakedown request. I mean, what the fuck are we doing here? But the Tiger situation is going to be a weird one. It's like, obviously the death of Kobe is still pretty fresh in people's minds. And you see something like that happen, and like that's immediately where your mind goes. You see a picture of the car and it's mangled and your jaws of life and it's a one car accident. And you start to think like that's immediately where a lot of people's mind went, because he would be, I think Tiger is even an even bigger star and a bigger name. I mean, obviously Kobe's situation was the most tragic because of his daughter being involved, but people kind of comparing the two right away. It's like, yeah, those are those athletes that are on that upper echelon, that pantheon, where it's like, this would be, you know, a cultural tragedy but Tiger is this figure that to me, when it's all said and done, I think it goes down as the most like enigmatic, intriguing figure of all time. And, you know, if this is yet, I know there was the interview with him over the weekend where he was looking like out of it, glassy eyed and all like fucked up. And people are saying that Tiger didn't look good. And then there's this one car accident. It's like, until, I mean, we're speculating here about what happened and why it happened. But, you know, knowing that it's now non-life-threatening injuries, his broken leg. Luckily, there was nobody else involved. I mean, if there is any sort of like, you know, he was driving under the influence again and it's a repeat offense. I mean, imagine if somebody else got injured, if it wasn't a one car accident and that was what's happening. I mean, that kind of stuff is, for someone who has gone through it already, it would be, you know, an incredibly tough thing to come back from, reputation wise. Golf wise, I mean, the dude had 5 back surgeries. Now I think a couple on his leg, obviously this for like a compound injury, but I think he has the knee injuries. I think he's gotten his like knees cleaned up several times before. I mean, and now he's pushing, you know, upwards late 40s, like, in a few years, 50 years old, like the compound fracture in your leg is like, you need to be in traction for months. And you like coming back from that is tough, just to like come back and have a normal life, let alone try to compete at a professional level. And then let alone try to compete at the top level to win Masters and chase down this record. It's like, at what point, if you're Tiger Woods, do you not just say like, fuck it, man. Like, I can't keep up with it anymore. I'm just going to go be, you know, a dad, be a husband, or I'm not sure if he's married again, a boyfriend, just be a normal person living like a normal life, because this shit is too much. He's such a tragic figure in the sense of, I don't think there's ever been someone whose talent brings them to such a level of fame and power and personality and like love for him and all that. But his personal makeup just doesn't, he lacks the ability to handle all that. I think there's so few people who can handle that level of fame. When you're talking about, you know, the level of fame and notoriety that is, you know, you can't leave the house type shit, there's so few who have done it. There's, you know, like the Jordan sports, it's like, you know, the Jordan, the Tiger, in entertainment, it's like the Britney Spears, Michael Jackson. I'm sure like overseas with soccer players, there's some level, but you know, there are super, LeBron's probably at that level. I feel like even Kobe, Kobe was probably there, but there are people who are like mega famous, but you're not talking about like body doubles when you go out, or, you know, if anytime you are out in public, it's paparazzi everywhere. And every time you sneeze, there's a TMZ article about you. I mean, that was Tiger. And a lot of that was brought, like, was his level of dominance and success. And the fact that he was so different and unique for his sport, young black guy, the name, I mean, Tiger, Eldrick. I mean, if he's just like, you know, Thomas Smith, like, I don't even know if he has that same aura about him. So everything, the timing of it all, like the era in which he came up was like not quite the social media era, but definitely the TMZ era and the tabloid era. It all contributes to becoming like this tragic figure where He had the talent to be the best ever, but not the makeup to handle being the best ever. You know, when I watched that documentary about him, they told the story about how he would go to Vegas with Chuck, Charles Barkley and Jordan, and they would just go to these clubs and these girls would just all flock to them. And there was a story of Tiger going like, man, what do I say to these girls, talking to Jordan? And MJ's like, what do you mean? What do you say to them? And he's like, I don't know what to say to these girls. What should I say to them? He's like, just say you're Tiger Woods. Like, just fucking, that's it. That's all you have to do. You just have to be you. And the work is done. But clearly had this side of him that was like, you know, he wanted to hook up and this insatiable desire. And he wanted, clearly had some shit where he's trying to like make up for his childhood, you know, weird issues. But, and the ability to have whatever he wanted to try to like fulfill that like desire or that need, but not the ability to handle like everything else that comes along with it. Like just, and I, again, I just don't think there's many who can. I think the people, you know, I think the people who usually have the talent to achieve that level also have the makeup to handle it. Cause I think usually if you have that, you're the full package, but the real tragedy is when you have the ability to get there, but not the ability to handle it in management, because that's where you end up with this, you know, constant story of like failure and, you know, the ups and downs and the peaks and valleys where he just keeps like slipping. I don't think he can do it. And so like, why do it? Just go. You know, I know he wants to beat Jack Nicklaus and I know he wants to have like 80 wins on tour or whatever. And, you know, a hell of a competitor and shit. But like the hardest thing in sports is knowing when to hang it up. And this dude is like, I don't think he's ever going to be able to, but what could make him? I mean, I think if there is something, you know, if he's at fault here, I think that's going to be hard to, you know, convince the public that he, you know, root for me to come back again. But even if not, let's just say this is like a freak accident, just the physical side of it. It's like another surgery and another setback and months and years before you can even get back into shape before, forget about competing back at another major. I just don't know how Tiger can come back from that level. But the idea, like the comebacks, I think is what, you know, we as society are kind of like obsessed with. I think we're also obsessed with making sure you got clean junk. You know what I mean? That's one thing that I think we can all agree on. And that's why Manscaped has everything you need. If you're looking here on YouTube, I got the crop preserver, which is the ball deodorant. I've got the ball toner, which is their crop reviver that you put on all after using the lawnmower 3.0. You can see the flashlight there. You can hear that baby buzzing. It's got the nick-proof technology so that you're not going to cut yourself when you're done trimming it up. You put these on, you put the lotion on, you hit it with the spray and it keeps you smelling good. It keeps your skin smooth. You're not gonna have to worry about any nicks with the nick-proof technology. And they've got the boxers you put on afterwards to make sure that you're not sweating. It's everything you need to look and feel your best below the waist, which, you know, I'm sure Tiger needed that quite frequently with the attention he was getting. So manscaping is important in today's society, and really for your own good, for your own confidence and your own hygiene, and just knowing that you are all taken care of. So go to manscaped.com now, M-A-N-S-C-A-P-E-D, scaped with a D at the end. Promo code Clancy and get 20% off with free shipping. That's manscaped.com. Make your winter wiener look good, as they say. The return, the comeback is something that I think society loves to see someone crumble. I think they love to see someone build back up to the top. And I'm fascinated with the idea of who does and who doesn't. Who gets torn down and why? And who makes it back up and why? And Chris D'Elia is the latest to, well, it remains to be seen how much he makes it back. But after, what, maybe a 9-month break, probably pushing closer to a year now, because I think it was like the beginning of pandemic. He was silent and then just dropped a YouTube video, and the early reaction was just an avalanche of positivity. Now, Chris D'Elia is a weird case, because if you're listening to this podcast, I assume you know who he is, because you're on the internet, you're listening to podcasts, you're plugged in that world. If you don't know, Chris D'Elia is a comic and a podcaster who he got caught up on Twitter with like a Me Too type of movement, where all these girls came forward with screenshots of his DMs, where it's pretty obviously true here and obvious that Chris D'Elia is like a sex addict. Like, I think he was having sex with like thousands of women, and he had cheated on his wife, or at least like long-term girlfriend, baby mama. They just had a baby. And then there were some allegations of like underage stuff. Now, a lot of those DMs, looking back on it, and even in the moment, I think it was pretty obvious. A lot of girls were of age, young, but, you know, 21 years old, 20 years old, being like, Chris, you know, didn't treat me great. Details of like them hooking up and him blowing them off or ghosting them, which is just like, you know, shitty, but again, nothing like illegal there. But then there were the DMs that were with young girls, and some that were like him replying, being like, oh, you're too young for me. But then you'd see like he resumed the conversation like a few months later. I think in some cases he was like waiting for them to turn 18. People throwing around the grooming term, you know, he was grooming these girls, getting them ready, and just not great. And I judged him based by the reaction that like he went silent. He released a statement at first, but it was just kind of taking responsibility. He was like, you know, I maintain that I never did anything illegal, but I, you know, this is behavior that I know I need to clean up. So, you know, stating his innocence, but also kind of being like, I'm going to disappear for a while. That to me is kind of like, because yeah, you're right, this is an issue. So he comes out with this like 9-minute YouTube video where I was pretty surprised by it, because he didn't say much for like a 9-month or a year long hiatus to then come back. He was like, you know, sex became a problem for me. And I, you know, it got to a point where I could have a lot of sex very easily. And it's an issue for me. And I need to like grow up and be like a role model for my son. And, you know, that was kind of it, and didn't really address the issue that most of us were kind of like, wait a minute, the fucked up part is how old some of these people were. He said, like, straight up, I've never done anything illegal with any of my relationships. Everything was consensual and of age with my relationships, which I actually do kind of believe that. I don't think there was anything ever that was not consensual. And I don't think there was anything ever that was underage that like literally happened to the point that like is illegal by law. And again, I'm just saying this as like a speculative person. I don't know him. I don't know any of the ins and outs of the details of the case, if you will, but I just got the vibe, you know, that would be my guess, if you will. But I did think like, this is just not the best look if you're fucking around with like really young girls. And in some cases we're talking to girls that are underage. What I was interested is like, when you do these apologies, you can do it like one of two ways. You can do the Justin Timberlake apology that we just saw, which is, I have my team write it up. We post it, you know, on the notes app, like on text, on Instagram, leave that and let the people comment on that. And then I've said my piece and that's it. Or you can do the Chris D'Elia, which was like, I'm going to shoot from the hip. I'm going to, you know, this was not a prepared statement. He's not reading off a paper or a teleprompter. He was just kind of riffing, and you hear him and, you know, when the Justin Timberlake apology comes out, people are like, oh, that was so insincere. That was so, it wasn't heartfelt. It wasn't real. And you hear the Chris D'Elia one. It's like, well, I think you now understand why some people go with the written statement, because just speaking, you know, off the rip is like, well, that didn't really sound great. Maybe it's coming from a more genuine place, but if it sounds like shit and you don't really like accomplish what you need to accomplish, well, then who fucking cares? Then maybe you should have gone with like your PR team, because that's what they're here for. The Chris D'Elia like apology was, again, I don't think anybody cares that he's a sex addict. Like, okay, you fuck a lot of people. So what? I don't even know if people cared about like his relationship. He kept that very under wraps. It was not like anybody knew his girl. I don't like people didn't even know he had a kid really until he announced it like at the last second. Like he's like, by the way, I have a kid. I don't think people cared about that. They cared about like the underage allegations, and that is what wasn't really addressed at all. So it's like, what did you even say here? But what I couldn't believe was the like outpouring, like I said, the avalanche of positivity. People being like, you're back. Thank God. This is the best day of my life. Like, we needed you. It was so unfair what happened to you. And I was floored by that one. And I guess on some level, I shouldn't be for a number of reasons. I think on the surface, it's like, this is a YouTube video on his YouTube channel. His subscribers are all the first people to reply to it. They're all going to love the fact that their guy is back. But I think to just like, and I'm always so interested in these because I went through it myself, and I'm always kind of interested to look and see how other people's experiences varied from mine. Now I'm not on the same level of like celebrity as these guys. So it's always going to be different, but I look at the way I handled it and the way people reacted to me and the way they still handle it. And I compare, and you know, Chris D'Elia, for the allegations of people being like, you know, talking about underage kids, it was nothing but like, we love you. And I guess it remains to be seen how much he will really be back. Like, I don't know if comedy clubs, when they return, are they going to be putting him on stage? Is he going to be next to female comics? Is a platform like Netflix ever going to put him back on? Are major sponsors going to be back in the mix? Those are the real questions to talk about. You know, are you back per se, like the real true back? But you know, it's clear he could just pop on a Patreon right now, and he's got his subscribers and their support where they don't care and they're down to do it again, and he can make that money. And I think to like, you know, compared to the other comedians, like the Louis C.K.'s of the world, who I feel like he got crushed with negativity, where every, like if he were to post something, it would be flooded by the people who hate him, the trolls that hate him, the journalists that hate him, where it was like nothing but negativity. Where, what is the difference and why? You know, a guy like Kevin Hart, who like came out with his situation and was like, I'll tell you the truth. Like, I've been cheating, but now I'm being extorted. And, you know, I think Kevin didn't like miss a beat. He was almost like the hero in the situation, the victim in the situation, because he was getting blackmailed. And the D'Elia one just, I feel like I usually have like a good idea on who's going to make it and who's what the response is going to be. But the D'Elia one threw me for a loop. I just couldn't believe how much support he had. And I'm trying to, I guess the difference, what's weird about D'Elia to me is like his level of fame. Like I said, we might know him, but you know, you ask like your mom and dad, people who aren't plugged into the internet humor, the internet comedians, the podcasters, they're really not going to know who Chris D'Elia is. Maybe some people saw like you. And that's part of, again, when that all broke, the fact that D'Elia had played pedophiles on TV. I mean, people were pounding him, coming down on him, only to then turn around and seemingly be super popular, super positive. But I think that level of fame where he had a good level of fame, enough to have like diehard cultish fans who were they will look past anything. They're blinded by, you know, how much they love him, but not enough that major journalists and major publications are really putting you in the crosshairs to like, you know, expose you and get their clicks that way, where you will then, I think if you get outside of your own bubble, that's where you have the haters, or I don't want to say haters because haters is like a negative connotation. Sometimes you deserve to be hated, and that's, you know, going to happen. But you have the people who are negative about you who like need to make a point. People needed to make a point about Louis C.K. You know, he can't be back because he was so big, and they wanted to stop that. Whereas Chris D'Elia, I don't know if he got that same level of, you know, like, we're going to crusade against him, because it was just like, I don't really know like kind of what level he's at per se. So I think that area of fame. And then I think the way they handled it, like him and his PR team, they completely lay low. And I think I think he lost his sponsors and lost his work. Then you kind of get lumped in with the cancel culture side of things, where people, no matter really what you say or do, people feel so vehemently against cancel culture that they're going to defend you, like, no matter what. It's like, well, I don't think he deserved to lose his livelihood over this. I don't condone it, but, you know, why are we taking away his ability to earn or make a living? So all of a sudden, again, like, you kind of become that victim side of things, where there's enough time that's passed. There was no, like, hard proof evidence on the one side about what he did. You kind of forget what the DM said, and you're just like, well, you know, it was fucked up that he, you know, he got canceled. And I think whether that's, you know, was that totally intentional? Did they say, you know, give like 6 to 9 months, 9 to 12 months, and then we do it? I don't know how much that PR stuff is truly, you know, scheduled out, but it worked, man. I mean, it's interesting to see how much you can kind of game the system back, as far as the same way the internet can, like, rally against you. If you utilize it the right way, the internet rallies for you. And it's, you know, all of a sudden you're back on some level. It's a, you know, fascinating little dance of, like, the, you know, in and out, up and down, canceled but back. I will forever take note of all these things, because I went through it myself, and I still see, I mean, to this day, I'm talking, I don't know, we're like 3 years removed from my divorce, and everything I say and do is met with the same comments about, like, you cheated on your wife. And I do always think, like, what is the difference, and why for me does it seem to linger with people, where with others, you know, nobody ever talks about Kevin Hart. I mean, I guess it depends on if you stay with that person, and if that person stands by your side, if that person speaks out, how each situation unfolds. But it's like, you know, no one is talking ever about Kevin Hart's situation. Chris D'Elia, I don't think people even, like, really recognize that he was with somebody. It seems like, just depending on how much people knew and how much people, like, see into the ins and outs of the cheating or the infidelity or the whatever the situation may be, where they will then, you know, react in kind based on that. Like, how did that person handle it? Like, well, that's what we're going to say too. But it's always interesting to me. It's, I mean, again, like, 3 years of it, and I can talk about anything. Even, like, so the Tiger Woods thing, I make comments about Tiger Woods, an injury with Tiger Woods, a car crash with him. It has nothing to do. I can understand if I bring up other relationships or marriages or other cheating, but I bring up, like, Tiger Woods car crash, and it's like, oh yeah, but you cheated on your wife. And it's just like, I don't even get why this is at the forefront of everyone's mind, no matter what I do. I don't get the logic behind it. And so what I actually did was, I wanted to get to the bottom of it. So there's this dude, there's this one troll on Twitter. He goes by the name of Paul Rucker. And he has been fucking awful to me, you know, like, even by my standards, I took note of, like, man, this guy is fucking relentless. He even said, like, on a tweet, he was like, I'm going to make it a point to tweet at him every single day. I'm going to reply to every single thing he posts. I'm going to remind him that, like, he cheated and he got divorced. And for whatever reason, this like past week, it seems like the internet kind of just, like, ebbs and flows a little bit. And maybe it is a little bit of hive mind or mob mentality, where one troll sees it and then they kind of jump on it. But sometimes it just feels like when it rains, it pours. And it's just like a hurricane of people just talking about my, you know, but infidelity 3 years ago. And so I said, and this guy, he says, I'm going to kill him every single day. So I followed him. And at first I was just like, I'm going to fuck with him a little bit. Like, I don't think these guys expect that, like, the person they put in their crosshairs, they're going to follow them. And then he DMs me and he starts sending me like pictures of me with a clown nose on, being like, you're a clown. And he was like, I'm still here, Kevin. I'm not going anywhere. And then he did a Donald Trump impersonation where he was like, you know, little Kevin, you're little Kevin, doing like, to be honest, a phenomenal Trump interview impression. I thought it was like a like an internet generator or something where he like talks, but
Kevin Clancy, or some people call you KFC. I like to call you Little Kevin. Little Kevin, I call you. Look, you lack the stamina.
It's pretty good.
A friend of mine.
It's a pretty good fucking Trump impersonation. So I'm like, ha ha ha, that's gold, man. And I'm like, that's incredible. That's so funny. I'm like, wow, that was amazing. And he's like, Kevin, I have to say, you've been quite nice to me, even though I've spent the last 48 hours trolling you. Maybe my opinion about you has been wrong. And I'm saying, hey, man, well, funny is funny. And he goes, son of a bitch, you're going to make me respect you. Like, I mean, like that. Like a matter of 3-4 tweets of me just being like, LOL, you're funny. And I got this guy who swore to like end me and, you know, dominate me. I got him being like, maybe KFC's kind of cool, which is just crazy how quickly it can flip like that. So I'm like, you want to come on the podcast? And he's like, I got to be honest, I can't tell if you're trolling me. Now, at this point, I'm like, how fucking dumb is this guy thinking that I actually really like him? After 2 or 3 DMs, you know, after, again, I've seen, out of all the hate I've seen and as thick of skin as I have, I was like, this guy, he's fucking mean. He's fucking hurting my feelings. He's getting to me. It's upsetting. And he thinks that like in a matter of, you know, 2 or 3 DMs, I'm actually like cool with him. And so I said, why don't you come on the podcast? And I had visions of this being like 8 Mile. Like I'm going to dupe him. I'm going to lure him in. We're going to do this podcast. And then like, I wish I was someone like Roan, when he battle raps, he can look up and down at a guy, see his appearance. Like right now I got my rosy cheeks. I'm all flush. And I would fucking roast you for that. I would look at, you know, everything, your makeup, the way your whole being. And I would be able to just like crush you with witty, like punchlines and humor, like just by looking at you. I wish that's what the interview was, where I was just like, I duped you. I got you. You dumb motherfucker. You thought that we were just going to have like a cute conversation. No, in reality, I want to absolutely annihilate you. And I've got it here on camera. And I'm not capable of that. That's not what happened. What did happen though, is I ended up having a conversation with him about like the mentality of a troll. Like what is going on inside his head when he does that? So this is me talking to one of my biggest internet trolls, one of my biggest haters that I've ever come across. Out of everybody who talks shit to me and my family, this guy jumped out at me the most, and we actually end up talking for 20 minutes.
Good?
Yeah.
Got it?
All right. You on your lunch break, huh?
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got here, who I found on Twitter, who has been just an absolute shitbag to me on social media. I don't even know how long it is, but I've just seen nothing but endless tweets from you being like a total dick. What's the deal with that?
All right. Well, I'll get the short version of it. Me and a couple buddies, we got
bored, decided to make some burner accounts. We made our profiles like old white men.
Yeah.
We got like, so you saw mine, Paul Rucker. We just thought of some real fucking random names, old white men from the South, just kind of like, just to fucking trigger people, really, like commenting on CNN. Like, for example, like CNN would post something like the storm that hit like Texas or some shit. And we would comment like, oh, man, like, I can't believe Biden is letting this happen. Like, Trump would have never. And then the fucking replies were just hilarious. All these freaking boomers like, what are you talking about, you idiot? Like, blah, blah, blah. Trump had nothing to do with this. Biden's got nothing to do with this, you freaking idiot. So I've just been shit talking on that. And then, I don't know, just a bunch of different celebrities, and not even really like going at the celebrities as much as like trying to get people to respond, just like just baiting them into just stupid shit.
Right. And then why? So then what happens? You get the response and then what?
Oh, just see how long it takes for them to like, just like understand that we're like, people still think like Paul Rucker is like a real person from,
right?
Like my bio is like back to back Moultrie, Georgia beer drinking champ, once smoked a joint with Willie Nelson.
Right.
And like before that I had in my bio, like former CNN correspondent.
How much time do you spend doing this?
Not much. I mean,
so like you'll be at work or after work, you're like, all right, time to log in as Paul Rucker and like,
yeah, just stir some shit up. And like, I'll tweet to my buddies, like getting ready for the big Vegas trip, like freaking hookers, blah, 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 all this stuff. And just shit talking them on there. And that, like, now, I got,
that's real. Or that's like, you're talking to your
like real friends that I know in person, like from high school. And then what's not Gavin Gump is one of my buddies, not his real name. That's his burner.
But you have real friends who also have burner accounts that you talk to?
Yes. It sounds really stupid, but it's really fucking funny. It's really stupid.
I can't possibly imagine you think that's like you find that entertaining.
Yes, we do. Dude, we're stupid.
Yeah, that's what I never understood. It's like, okay. So like someone writes back. And you're just like, fucking funny, man.
Yeah, pretty much. Like the Gavin Gump dude that I was saying, like, he's made like SoundCloud songs fucking with other people, like on his Twitter and shit. And like people are taking it like super serious and whatnot.
How old are you?
23.
I guess that kind of makes sense. And yeah. So you made the, like a Donald Trump video where it's like a voice, like a, you know, sound, it sounds like Trump. And like
that. Yeah, that was me.
That you do the Trump impression?
Yeah.
Go ahead, do it.
All right, let me think of something real quick. Let's see. Excuse me, my fellow Americans. I am on with KFC. They call him KFC. It's Kevin Clancy. I call him Little Kevin.
That's pretty good.
Little Kevin.
I thought it was like an internet, like, I don't know, like a voiceover thing where you could put your own name in. So you like Barstool and you follow us and shit?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I fucking love you guys.
And then, but like, you'll spend all day just saying like horrific shit about me.
It's not like I'm trying to get like responses from people. And then you followed me and I was like, holy fuck, KFC followed me. I got to fucking shit talk him in the DMs. And I'm like, there's no way he's going to respond. And then you did. And I was like, fuck, I've been such an asshole to this dude. Like, I can't just be like, oh shit, my bad. Cause then I'll look like an idiot. I mean, I still, I guess, kind of look like an idiot.
Oh, don't worry, dude. You definitely look like an idiot. That's for certain. How dumb do you have to be to think so going through the DMs, all it took, like, I mean, like I said, you've been saying like horrific shit about me and my family, and then I'm like, wow, these are great, lol, haha, that's gold, that's incredible. And you're like, okay man, I respect you.
Because you weren't like saying anything back, and I was like, dude, this guy is just fucking wearing this, like, he does not give a fuck, which surprised. Well, I guess it didn't really surprise me because you guys probably get a bunch of shit all the time. Probably used to it by now. From, I don't know, you guys have been doing this, what, 10, 15 years? So, I mean, this probably isn't even the fucking close to the worst of the shit you guys have got.
No, I mean, you know, it's there's always like one thing that people will go after. But it's like you say it to me and then like my family sees it. My ex sees it. People are like, you know, horrified by it. I got to deal with it. I got to like talk them off the ledge and explain. But you're a Barstool fan.
Yeah, I am a Barstool fan.
It's crazy, man.
Crazy. You see your, I don't know if you look at your Instagram comments.
I see some of them. Yeah. I mean, I'll like see when I first like uploaded. I don't like go through all of them, but
right.
Yeah.
That's always something I've wondered. Like, do these people like actually sit through and read the comments? I mean, obviously, I guess you look at some of them, but yeah, dude, the people on the Instagram comments are fucking ruthless.
But like, you're one of them.
Not on Instagram, but I guess it doesn't make a difference.
Does it? Yeah, like you're one of those assholes.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Fucking crazy to me. Like I the psychology behind it. Like I can't imagine how you get to that point where you want to be Paul Rucker.
Don't know. It's something stupid. I get a kick out of it. My buddies get a kick out of it.
You guys are fucking losers.
We really are. When you think about it. Dude, you sent me that message and I sent that to one of my buddies who had a burner and he was like, no fucking way, dude. Like, this is too fucking funny.
Yeah, like, how stupid for you to think. Like, it took no effort for you to be like, oh, damn, like, you're cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just fucking stupid, dude. I don't know.
I don't know if I can't decide whether you're are you more stupid or are you more lame? You know what I mean?
If I had, you make me choose one.
No, I guess you could be stupid and lame, but what is worse? Like how dumb you guys are or how big of like fucking losers you are for doing this?
If I had to choose, I guess lame if I had to go with one. Yeah. I mean, some of the guys on there, like academically, so like good jobs, like they're not stupid. I mean, we have a stupid fucking sense of humor, no doubt. Like we're immature as fuck and just stupid so
like,
shit.
Like what is it about like the crusade against me?
There's nothing. There is no crusade against you. Like if you go to like, I'll throw one out. Who's one? Lerald Mims.
No, I mean, I cannot possibly care enough to go look anybody else up, but.
But yeah, just random. If we see a celebrity tweet or something, we'll just go at them. Just shits and giggles. We think the responses are funny.
But you can't possibly think that's funny.
So if you saw some of the responses we've gotten, like from just like actual like people that are like 50 or 60 years old on Twitter, like thinking that we are really like Paul Rucker, that's a 60-year-old back-to-back.
And how long have you been doing it?
I don't know, like 2-3 weeks.
And how long do you think you'll do it for?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I'll get bored of it fucking probably soon.
Weird.
It's just something to pass the time by, dude. I mean, I don't know. It's like I said, we're immature assholes, really.
Are you miserable?
No.
Yeah. Like, what do you do for a living? I just mean, like, is it like desk work or manual labor or what is it like?
Desk work, but it's like.
So that's like fun. You're miserable at work?
No, like, I actually work with great people. Like, we fuck around, not fuck around, but like, we have fun while we work.
All right. So you like
we have cornhole. We have like cornhole in the office and shit.
You live at home? You have your own place?
No, I live at home right now.
You got a girl?
Of course. Of course.
Why do you say of course?
Of course. Why not?
Gotta have a chick, bro. Gotta fuck. Does she know that you do this stuff?
She actually didn't find out about it till like, fuck, I don't know. 2 days ago. I think like somebody had retweeted one of my tweets or something. And like she saw it. She's like, who the fuck is this guy? I was like, oh my God, that's my burner.
And what did she say?
She's like, you have a burner? I was like, yeah, just fuck around with me and some of my buddies. She followed it.
So she likes it?
I don't think she really gives a fuck, to be honest.
That's crazy.
She's more mature than I am.
I mean, I would have to imagine.
Which isn't hard to do, right?
Yeah, like I would imagine literally everyone on the planet Earth would be more mature than you. So you'll be like, yo, babe, check it out. Like, I pretended to be like an old guy who likes Trump. And she's like, oh, that's so funny.
Not even like I said, I don't think she gives a fuck. Like, I think she could honestly care less. Like, if she saw it, I don't think she really cares. She kind of, I don't know.
How old is she?
She is 20.
Yeah.
About to be 21.
Crazy. The psychology of like you fucking losers is always fascinating to me, where it's like,
what goes on inside your head that you think it's like okay or funny or whatever?
Dude, it's something with, I think,
like if I tell you, like, do you follow Barstool, but do you follow my shit specifically? Do you like listen to my stuff or no?
No, I follow like you, Portnoy, and all those guys like on Twitter and Instagram.
Do you read it or watch it or any of that stuff? It's just social media.
No, I mean like the video. Are you talking about like the videos you guys?
Just anything. Do you like? Do you take the time to consume the stuff I put out?
Oh yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
And so
I enjoy it.
But you just want to fuck with like me and my life.
Not your life. Just fucking it, dude. It's a burner account. It's just whatever comes. I just fucking put it out there.
Well, so like if I tell you that it does fuck with my life, what do you think of that?
Oh, it definitely makes me, you know, feel bad. I'm going to stop doing it. You know what I mean? Like I'm like last night when we were just like, you know, fucking riffing back and forth or whatever. And then, you know, we were just talking and you're like, hey, you want to come on the show? Blah, blah, blah. I was like, yeah, like I don't have any like personal vendetta versus you. It's just. I could have done it to a fucking Portnoy, but I don't know. It just fucking happened. Or not even somebody from Barstool, even.
Yeah. So, and it just, so like you'll, all right. So you're not, you'll stop doing it to me now and just move on to the next one.
What do you mean? But like, just fucking like
I'm telling you that you're like, you're a piece of shit to me and you fuck with me in my life. Like I have to talk to like, the mother of my kids and explain things like that because she sees it and like I have family members that see it and all this sort of shit where it's like, yeah, no, this is like the worst thing about my life is like shit that I have to deal with and like I got people like this who make it worse and I have to like, you know, smooth it all over and try to explain to people, you know, to stay off the internet or avoid like scumbags like you. So like it fucks with me and my life and my kids and my family and like, and so like now you'll stop because I DM'd you back?
I mean, with you, I mean, look, I was like, I follow you. Like I said, I follow you on Twitter. I enjoy your guys' stuff. It really wasn't meant to be like, it was supposed to be a funnier type thing for the people that follow me on my shit. Like I said, I was like, dude, this dude's got millions of followers. He's not going to, who the fuck cares about a guy named Paul Rucker that looks like a 60-year-old fuckhead? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the point is that like people do care, you know, like you think of it like that. But when I have, you know, like I said, the mother of my kids calls me up one night crying because like the internet's always saying fucked up shit about our family. It's like, yeah, it's a problem.
Right. No. Yeah. And, you know, I'll apologize to you for that. And, you know, I'm definitely going to, you know, think about that. And I do feel bad, man. Like I said, I enjoy your guys' content. I enjoy Barstool. Like,
I wish I could say the same about you, brother.
And I don't blame you.
Yeah,
I don't blame you. You know, I'm sorry. And like you said, you know, people on the internet and it is a good lesson. I think, you know, that the words that people do speak on the internet do affect people. And, you know, I probably shouldn't say half the shit I say on my burner and I'm definitely gonna, you know, tone it down a bit, you know, because like I said, didn't think there was a shot in hell you would even see it or even respond or give it the time of day. And that's like, when you DM me, I was like, dude, what the fuck? Like, fuck, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I didn't understand is that it's not like you actually, well, at least you in this case, you're doing it just for you and your buddies, not realizing that like you're all being fucking scumbags to people, you know, like they will see it.
Right.
All right, good talk, man.
You know, so I end up having this conversation with him. It was fascinating. And it was, you know, he was a young dude, 23 years old. And I was like, what the fuck is your problem, man? Like, why do you do this? Like, do you hate me or do you and hate Barstool or do you like me and Barstool? And he was like, I love Barstool. Like, and I was like, do you like me? Or is it like, you love the rest of Barstool, but like, you hate my shows. Do you actually listen to my show? He's like, yeah, I listen to all your shit. I'm like, what? And he's like, yeah, I created this because I think it's funny. Me and a few of my friends all have fake burner accounts with like personas. We make up names and we have like old people faces. And we think it's hilarious to try to get responses out of celebrities and people like you. And I was like, you just can't possibly find that to be funny. You can't listen to what we do and follow Barstool, where there are some incredibly funny people, true, real comedic chops, true comedic value, and then possibly compare what you're doing and think they're the same. Like, that's funny too. It's just not possible. And he was kind of like, yeah, I get it. Like, it's not really that funny, but I'm just like killing time doing it. And at one point I even said to him, like, do you think you are a bigger loser or a bigger idiot? You know, is this more lame what you do? Or is it that you're like actually a dumb person and you like you have, you know, low IQ and like a low sense of humor, and so you think this is funny? Like, which one, dumb or lame? And he was like, probably both. And just kind of copped to the whole thing. Just was like, yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm a loser. And this is what I do for fun. He said he has a girlfriend. He said his girlfriend knows about it. And she's like, she doesn't love it, but she's just like, whatever. I don't really care. Like, my boyfriend spends his time pretending to be Paul Rucker on the internet. And roasting this podcaster he doesn't like. And I told him, I was like, you know, I get calls from like the mother of my kids being like, whenever the internet's really nasty, being like, what the fuck is this? Or like, why won't they stop? You know, and I'm like, I have to smooth it over and do some damage control. And I was like, you realize that like you're fucking with my life, man. And he was just like, I didn't realize that. And he like genuinely meant it. It was weird. He was like, that's obviously not what I'm going for. And I'm thinking here, like, what do you mean obviously? It's not obvious. You said you're going to like make it your goal to, you know, try to remind me of like the worst days of my life every single day. There's nothing obvious about you liking me. There's nothing obvious thinking that you actually, you know, like me. And he was like, I just never in a million years thought you would see it. He's like, I don't ever think about the people that I am trolling seeing what I put out there and reacting to it. And again, it seemed very genuine, where it was just like he never considered that it was actually going to hurt people or even just reach them. Now, me, it's like I can understand if you tweet fucking Tom Cruise. I don't know why it popped in my head, but just like a mega star, like the, you know, the level of stars we were talking about earlier. If you tweet Britney Spears, if you tweet some of these people, it's like you probably won't ever, they probably ever don't ever see you. I guess someone like me, it's like that's where it's weird. It's like I have more followers than most people, but not millions, not something where it's like I'm never gonna see these mentions and tweets. And so, you know, maybe you just kind of like miscalibrated what I am. It's like, that's why, you know, I can't even compare myself to the other situations. Those are real celebrities, real comedians, real actors, real monster level people, where it's like, I don't know, man, I'm honestly just like you guys were, but just got a shot to like do it on this blog when it was on the come up. So like, no, I do see it. And yeah, like it fucking sucks. And it's not just like him. It's more like everybody piles on, so that all of a sudden it feels like absolutely like I'm, you know, people tell me like, I got to get over it and I got to like let it go and like let go of the guilt and kind of move on. It's like, how can I move on when it's literally all I see all day, every day on every single thing I post, even if it's a stranger, a dumb troll, someone I don't actually respect their opinion. I wouldn't care about anything else they had to say. It's not that I'm like, oh no, that person doesn't like me or judges me. It's more just like when that's all I see all day, every day on everything I post, it's hard to forget about it and move on. It's not that I'm sitting there like, oh my God, how can I win that person back over? It's just like, I'm thinking about it again. I'm thinking about, you know, how my marriage fell apart and what I did wrong and what I think, you know, people got wrong and all these things. So it's like, it doesn't even necessarily have to, you know, like get to the person. It's just, you know, just I'm gonna fucking remind you of something terrible. And but the logic hearing him be like, I just never thought it was gonna be a thing. And in the end, he was kind of like, and I do want to apologize. And I was like, so what are you going to do? You're just going to keep doing this? And he was like, no, of course not. And I was like, dude, don't act like this is just like a open and shut thing. Like, don't act like, you know, he was like acting like I'm the dummy. Like, bro, are you kidding me? Of course, I'm not going to do that anymore after we had this conversation. It's like, well, I didn't think we would ever have to even have this conversation in the first place, you fucking lunatic. So it was a fascinating conversation. In the sense of, you know, and I told her at points, I was like, yeah, man, you're a fucking asshole. But, and so it's not like, you know, we're best friends or anything, but it is, if you ever have like a hater, if you ever have trolls, and it can be, you know, on my level where it's like, it's an avalanche every day. It could be on, you know, one person tweets at you. You have one burner that comes at you and, you know, is giving you a hard time. When you hear it like straight from their mouth being like, I just thought it was funny. I just was killing time at work. I just do it for my two other friends who think it's funny too. Me and two other guys, the three of us have burners and we all have a game to see like, who can we get a reply from? And they don't actually care. They don't care about like what happened to my marriage. They don't care about what this celebrity did. They're just like, yo, Ben, did you see this? He replied like, I win. And I guess it's just an interesting, like the sociological look behind it all, where it's kind of like, yeah, there is no reason to get upset about it because they're not actually, you know, they don't actually want you to be upset. They were just like dicking around. And I, you know, the unfortunate kind of side effect or like byproduct of it is like, well, no, it does fucking upset me and a lot of the people you're trolling. And in my case, the family that's involved with your trolling. And it was like, at the end, I was like, okay, man, like, well, interesting combo. Fucking fuck you very much. You know, like, cool. Thanks for the insight into the mind of like an absolute internet sociopath. But also, man, like, fuck you. And it was the culmination of a shitty, like long week, where I feel like I aged 1,000 years in this past week with professional drama and like personal drama. I feel like my hair was falling out. I feel like I was never going to be able to get my dick hard again. I feel like I was never going to be able to have sex again or be happy again. And that's why I immediately went over to Roman.com and I started to look at I looked at my whole profile. What are my prescriptions? What do I have being delivered to my house? What's on deck? Because Roman has everything you need as a guy to make it through life when you've got a troll on your back, when you've got personal drama, when you've got professional drama, when you need to make sure, you know, if your hair's falling out because you're going crazy, they've got you covered with the hair loss pills. You can't get your dick up because, you know, I've got Paul Rucker, the troll, on my mind. They've got you covered on the ED. Maybe you're not performing well in bed. Maybe you're getting hard, but you can't last, can't do your job and make her or him happy. They've got you covered with the Roman swipes to, you know, rub it on and you last that much longer. The swipes are this like medical miracle, to be honest. They are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. No more, you know, old wives tales on how you can keep your dick hard and how you can last longer in bed. This is a scientific medical formula that numbs your dick just a little bit. So it makes it, desensitizes it just a tad. So you can still feel it and enjoy yourself, but you're going to last, you know, that much longer so that you get the job done. And then when you get the job done, you feel more confident about yourself. She enjoys it. You start, it's all about confidence. It's all mental. And as you start to build that mentality, you start to get better and you actually learn to fuck longer because your body and your brain has now been trained by the Roman swipes to last longer. So it's not just use it and perform. It's use it and train and learn. And then you'll perform maybe without them even one day. So you can actually get better at sex by using the Roman swipes. And right now you can get these swipes for just $5 when you go to GetRoman.com/Clancy. That's G-E-T. roman.com/Clancy. First month of swipes for just $5. I got them right here. They come in this little zipper package, little Roman package, little pouch. And you've got this box right here. If you're watching on the YouTube, subscribe to the Kevin Clancy Show. Looks like a little condom package. Looks like a little, almost like a little moist towelette. You rip that bad boy open. Just got this tiny little napkin. That's it. You take this thing. Almost like when you're drying your back off and you get out of the shower, a little just up, down, left, right, and rub it on the tip, rub it on the bottom. Next thing you know, you're lasting in bed a lot longer by my standards. It's like, hey, if you add a couple minutes, well, when it was only lasting a couple minutes, we're talking about, you know, doubling my performance. So shout out to Roman. Go to GetRoman.com/Clancy. And it was the culmination, like I said, of a shitty week. And I mean that quite literally, because Keegan Clancy, my son, I'm going to play this podcast for him one day when he's a teenager. I'm going to wait till his friend's over. I'm going to wait till he's got his goddamn first girlfriend. And I'm going to play this podcast as payback. This kid, man, he shit everywhere. I mean, everywhere. We're in the middle of potty training him and getting, he's on the last legs of it, where the last thing that he doesn't really want to take shit on the toilet. He's used to just on the diaper. So I am potty training and I get him to shit on the toilet. We do the whole, you're getting a prize, you're getting a present for it, your poop present. I hate all that stuff. I hate talking about the bathroom. I hate saying potty and poop and all these things. It's just a disaster. He shits. And I could tell it wasn't all the way done, but whatever. He shits. It's time for bed. I put the diaper on him for bedtime. He was not done, like I said. I knew more was coming. I didn't know it was coming in that moment. And oh my God, did it come. So he blows this diaper out, dude. And right away, he turns to me. He's upset. He's like, Dad, I need new pants. And I'm like, I know what that means. He blew it right out the side of his diaper, okay? And I got to get his pants off. So it's kind of like in his pants. So I'm pulling it down, but it's in his pants. So as I pull it down, it pulls the shit down. And I apologize for being graphic here, but I got to get to the end here. So you hear the story about just how ridiculous my parents' reaction were to this, Keegan's grandparents. So the shit, my friends, is everywhere. It's all down his leg. It's in his fucking sock. Okay. It got in to the ankle of his sock. It's everywhere. I just take the pants. I throw them in the garbage. I take his underwear. I throw it in the garbage. I'll be honest. I almost took the child, wrapped him up, and threw him in the garbage. It was one of those moments where it's like, where's the receipt? I want to return this. Like, somebody called Jeff Bezos. I'm going to put him in a cardboard box, tape it up. I'm sending him back to Amazon. I got a lemon. Can I get a replacement? It was that bad. And I just took him. I put him right in the tub. I'm not even trying to do wipes and clean it with toilet paper. I throw him right in the toilet. Freudian slip there. I throw him right in the tub and I'm treating him like a barnyard animal at this point. I'm like spraying him down. I am just washing this guy. If I had a hose and one of those like big brushes, I would have brushed this kid down. And what's funny is I get him cleaned up and he's like, cool, Dad. He's like, can I have a snack? I'm like, no, motherfucker. It's bedtime and you just put me through like a traumatic experience. He's feeling great now because he just unloaded like 13 pounds of shit. The dude just shit like half his body weight. So he's feeling light as a feather. He's probably bouncing on his tiptoes. Like, I haven't felt this good in days, weeks. He wants to just hang out, watch his iPad, play a game. He's like, you want to play hide and seek? I'm like, how about I fucking hide forever and you never find me? How about one day I was playing hide and seek after I shit everywhere in a catastrophic diaper situation. And my dad, he hid and I never saw him again. How about we play that fucking hide and seek, Keegan? I took a picture at one point of like his leg. He was laying on the ground, and I was about to change him, and his leg's up in the air. And so I took a picture of just his leg, his shitty leg. And I sent it to my mom. My mom and my sister, we have like a group chat where I'm always just sending things about the kids. And I just said, oh my God. And my sister was like, oh my God. My mother, Kathy Clancy, raccoon killing Kathy Clancy, she doesn't understand the picture. She doesn't know what she's looking at. She says to my sister, he says, what is this picture? I don't get it. Is that, did Kevin shit on Keegan's leg? What? What? It's like, is that his, whose leg is that? Did Kevin poop on him? Like, what, mom? What? And then she was like, oh, no, I didn't mean that. I meant like, was that his leg or your leg? Like, did you poop your pants? I'm like, I don't know what's worse, mom, that you think I shit on my own son's leg? What? Or that I'm 35 years old, I shit my pants, and I just popped a quick selfie and then sent it to the family group chat. Like, hey, look at me, just shit down my leg. I don't know what's worse. I mean, I do know what's worse. Thinking that I pooped on my own son's leg, that's worse. But not far behind would be second place that, you know, my 35-year-old son shit himself and just sent it over to the family. Like, oh God, check it out. As if that, so I hear that and I'm like, oh my God, we've lost her. You know, I was like, your parents, they get old. That's just what happens. And eventually, you know, they get old. I think sometimes to myself, like, you know, I remember my grandmother, my great aunt, like they, by the end, they're crazy. How does it get that way? When does that happen? I'm starting to see it. My mom thought that I shit on my own son's leg. Then the next morning rolls around. My dad wakes up. My sister shows my dad. And he goes, whose leg is that? Did Kevin shit himself? What's going on, folks? Why does everybody think that I shit myself or shit on my kid? My sister, being a logical human, was like, I immediately thought that it's the three-year-old who pooped his pants, because that's the only logical explanation for this picture in this story, guys. The only conclusion a rational, normal brain could come to would be that the potty training human had an accident, that it doesn't have to do with the father shitting himself, and it doesn't have to do with the father pooping on the son. You goddamn demented assholes. Did you poop on your son's leg? What? What? Oh, no. I just thought it was you who shit yourself. What? Goddamn what? Do you see? I mean, I'm trying to deal with endless amounts of pressure. Single dad, two kids, and apparently I've got parents who think that I'm shitting on kids. Heavens to goddamn Betsy. And you know what? All I'm asking for is just people to subscribe to my YouTube. That's all I want. Let the rest, sure. I got the crazy parents who think I'm shitting on them. I've got the crazy internet who won't let up. I've got the trolls. I've got the haters. All I want you to do is subscribe to my goddamn YouTube and watch this. That's all I'm asking for. Shit. You know what is crazy even? I mean, today I had, this is when you know you had a bad day on the internet. Kirk Minahan texted me like, you okay? My ex-wife texted me, you okay? I got people randomly texting me, I love you, just to be like, hey, I remind, you know, reminder. And I'm the whole time, every time I'm like, what's going on? Like, thank you. But what? And they're like, yeah, well, I saw what's going on with like Twitter. And I'm like, oh, this doesn't even faze me anymore. Like, it doesn't even register. I'm like, oh, that, yeah. I mean, yeah, what are you going to do? I mean, literally that same night, we pop on Clubhouse and we do ASL, age, sex, location, and I'm playing matchmaker. We had three guys match with three girls. They're going on three dates. I'm like, nobody cares. That's what, you know, I get upset about a troll. We talk about it here. You worry about getting canceled on the internet and people getting upset on Twitter. And it's like, oh, it doesn't really matter. Like, that sect of people is upset with you. And then even I just went over here on social media to a different app, and everyone on Clubhouse is just like, hey, what's up, man? Forget about even, and then you get off of social media entirely and you get back to the real world. And I was like, oh, those people, they don't know what's going on. But I could even just go from the social media world to the social media world over here. And people were like, yeah, whatever, man. I don't know. No big deal. So, you know, this is a bad one for sure. One of my worst ones, the ratio and the replies. But I'm like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, the people on the internet are mad at me. Another day in the fucking mud, man. Another day, another dollar. I'm just trying to make enough dollars that I can get out of here. That's why I want to get into those NFTs. Talk about that next week. I can't do it now. It's too late. It's 11:30. I'm talking for an hour and a half, hour plus. We'll do that next time. But NFTs, man, that shit is the fucking future. And in a world that I can't even believe exists, NFTs, if you don't know, it, basically think about baseball cards and trading collectibles, but just the digital version of them. So rather, should I just get into it? No, I can't get into it. I'm addicted to talking. We'll get into it next week, the NFTs. Talk about digital collectibles, the blockchain certificates of authenticity and signatures. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to do Barstool NFTs. You're going to be able to own Barstool pictures and Barstool gifts, Barstool moments. You'll be the owner of your favorite pizza review. Be the owner of the original King Richard's Fair painting. You'll be the owner of this gif, that gif, this moment from Barstool. Like, you can own the first edition X-Men comic. You can own the Honus Wagner one of a kind card. All of those things. This Pokemon, this Pog, this whatever. We have the digital version, and you can have a Barstool collectible. You got to pay for it, just like anything else. It's going to be one of one, and it's going to be rare, and it's going to be yours and your collection. And there's so much money to be made and so much cool shit to collect and buy and sell. It is the motherfucking future. And my generation can't really wrap our minds around it. And next podcast, I'm going to help you. Next podcast, I will explain to you and wrap your brain around the idea of NFTs, which is non-fungible trading or something like that. Let me get the definition for you before I leave you. Non-fungible tokens. So the idea of non-fungible, like non-transferable little tokens of value that you can buy and sell. You can own a piece of history, own a piece of Barstool history. And our brains can't compute. We understand little cardboard card. That makes sense. As stupid as that is, buy and sell this cardboard card because it's a first edition and the border looks like this and the print says that. And oh, there's a misprint here, so it's one of one. I'll pay $2 million for that in an auction. We're just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's baseball cards. Over here, you make a digital version of it. There's a digital highlight on the NBA. Someone dunking it. You could buy and own that highlight. We're like, that doesn't make sense. That's so stupid. Why is it? Why is it any different than buying the cardboard card? It's not. Our brains, though, trained in a way of the old world, can't wrap our mind around the idea of digitizing those collectibles. I'm gonna help you do that next episode. I'll take you to school, take you to church, teach you some lessons on NFTs. Right now, I gotta go to fucking bed, man, because I got trolls dancing in my head. I got memories of my kid shitting on me, or me shitting on my kid, according to my parents. I gotta worry about Tiger Woods fallout. It's another day in the mud, man. And guess what tomorrow is? And the day after that. And the day after that. More days in the mud.